I didn't want release to be too serious a topic, so that's why I wore my hippie fest clothes and decided that I didn't want to take myself too seriously today, because Judy said not too long ago, the next topic is release. No wonder Dennis asked you to take his place. Because you know what happens when we are actually preparing for a talk, we live the subject big time. That's what happens with teachers who commit to sharing on a subject. They get to have the experience of what that subject's all about for a period of time. So the last 6 weeks I've been living released, and I've had some powerful experiences with it. In fact, so powerful that I did a 2-page handout that many of you have. I only made 10, so we may not have enough for everyone. But I spent so much time thinking about this subject that I just kept getting more and more and more and more insights into what release meant. And I knew that I couldn't cover all of it in the time that I have to talk. And many of those things that I wrote in that handout felt really meaningful and powerful to me. So I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to share them with you, whether I got to them in the talk or not. And there is a brochure that I put together the last time we did the 5 steps of spiritual mind treatment on release. And I had the opportunity once again when I came in and started folding them this morning to release my need for perfectionism, because they didn't all print perfectly. The one in my hand is an example of that. A piece of it got cut off in the printer. So the opportunity to release again and again has been a very present subject for me, and I so appreciate this opportunity to focus my life on a subject that I've really had resistance to in the past. Because releasing a treatment is one thing. It's like trusting that the universe is going to take my very best words and my very best thoughts, my very best intentions when I'm praying, and bring them back to me. It's easy to release that. But release in the past has felt like constriction to me rather than expansion. And through this period, in the past, it felt like I was being asked to release things that were important to me, and to release what I wanted in my life, or to release my personality, or to release my sense of self in some way. And the miracle about this time around in approaching this subject, not just as the last step of spiritual mind treatment, but what does release mean in life? It has given me the opportunity to discover the expansiveness of release, because it seems to all of a sudden apply to everything. When I began to look at it as the opportunity to release limiting patterns of thought, it became totally awesome to me that I kept seeing more and more and more and more things that were worth releasing in my thinking. And as I was typing about it yesterday, I looked at the word and I realized that the word ease is in the word release. And I just hadn't focused in that way before. And so I thought of it, REL is the abbreviation that I used for relationship when I take notes. And so it's a relationship of ease with the universe. It's a relationship of ease with others. It's relaxing into ease. It's relative ease compared to where I was before. So all of a sudden now, release is all about ease for me. It's about moving into an easier state of being. It's allowing me to unclench my fist and relax. It's allowing me to slow down and breathe and look up and see from a higher perspective. So release all of a sudden is like my favorite topic, and I'm really excited to talk about it today. and I have so much to say. There is a wonderful song that Cynthia James sang. I'm not sure she wrote it. I couldn't find who the writer of it was, but it's called Let It Go. And the words go, surrender, let it go. All the fears and the doubts, all the pain, all the wounds, feelings of being alone, surrender, let it go. Surrender, let it go. All the shame and the guilt, all the tears, all the blame and feelings of being outside, surrender, let it go. Don't you know God is here? Don't you know God is here? Don't you know God is here? Mm-hmm. Let it all go. All the thoughts of disease, all the lies, all the blames, feelings of being alone, let it go. Open your heart, abide in the light. Open your mind, surrender. Open your heart, abide in God's light. Open your mind, surrender. Let it go. Let it go. Those are all the things that we have the opportunity to release. The things that don't work well in our lives, the doubts, the fear, the wounds, the pain. And last month I was playing a consciousness game with some of my friends, and I got a card that said, write your own card with the help of your friends. And I was stuck in a place where I felt blocked in my life. And one of my brilliant friends, who many of you know, Peg Green, said to me, here's your card question. Are you giving more attention to past pain or present possibility? Whew. She said, imagine letting go. How would it feel to let go and just focus on the present? And I don't know about you, but it feels really good to me when I'm stuck in past pain to focus on present possibility and to recognize that everything in the universe is before me, that all of the qualities of God are right here, right now, and there are no limits to what can happen if I'm willing to let go of the past and focus on what's possible rather than what's happened. And so that was one of my experiences of release coming up in my regular daily life, where I just got to be confronted or assisted by a friend who said, are you giving more attention to past pain or present possibility? And I now have this card that has a picture of the place in North Carolina that was a huge synchronicity for me that I wrote about, that I talked about last talk that I gave, where I had the opportunity to recognize that I'd spent the night in a place where some of my favorite books that I've read over and over again were written, and just discovered it seemingly by accident. But in that place of recognizing there are no accidents. And so when, you want to pass it around? When you get that feeling that there are no accidents, it's easy to release. It's easy to trust and go deeper into the knowing that there is a divine orchestration for our lives. The way Abraham Hicks says it is that everything we've ever wanted has been accumulated in a vibrational escrow, and we have only to come into alignment with it to receive it all, and that it's endlessly being unfolded for us, and that the inner being, the higher self, is taking every choice we make and moving it into a beautiful picture of what's possible. And in another experience of release, another one of my dear friends, two of them that were there for the first release episode showed up for another one for me last week.
or 2 weeks ago, Kate and Catherine both told me they were reading The Shack simultaneously. And The Shack is a best-selling book about a man whose daughter gets murdered, and he spends the weekend with Jesus and the other aspects of the Trinity in a shack. And it's a novel of forgiveness and redemption. It's all about release. But it comes from a theology that doesn't quite match mine. And so I had the opportunity to release my judgment about the theology and the parts of it that didn't feel right to me and look for the beauty in this. And it immediately, in the very second paragraph, the writing of this man caught me because it reminded me of us as the Sterling Study Group. The paragraph goes like this. I've known Mac for a bit more than 20 years, since the day we both showed up at a neighbor's house to help him bale a field of hay to put up for his couple of cows. Since then, he and I have been, as the kids say these days, hanging out, sharing a coffee, or for me, a chai tea extra hot with soy. Our conversations bring a deep sort of pleasure, always sprinkled with a lot of laughs and once in a while a tear or two. Frankly, the older we get, the more we hang out, if you know what I mean. And Diane Menard, when she was part of Sterling Study Group, taught me how to hang out, how to just spend an afternoon with friends pretty much doing nothing, maybe watching a video or doing a jigsaw puzzle together. And for me, more and more, as I get older, my life is about hanging out. It's about loving the people around me and spending time with them and enjoying the time we spend together, being part of a community. And this book talks about community in some incredibly powerful ways. And it talks about having a relationship with Source and then allowing that relationship to inspire relationships with people. Having a relationship with God. And the character in the book that represents God the Father is called Papa, but it's a big African-American woman who spends a lot of time in the kitchen cooking for everyone, being the source, in a sense. And she says to the man whose daughter was murdered, who's very sad and angry at God, she said, "You were created to be loved. So for you to live as if you were unloved is a limitation. Living unloved is like clipping a bird's wings and removing its ability to fly. We were meant to live loved." And for me, this past few weeks since I read this book, it's about releasing that feeling that I'm unloved over and over and over again, and looking for all the ways I am loved, and looking for all the ways I do love. And I've come to speak it as spending my life, making my work, being about tuning myself to the frequency of love, whether it's loving or recognizing the millions of ways I am loved, the millions of ways I am blessed and supplied in every moment, every day, from the first breath that I take, I am fulfilled. The vast majority of what I need is coming to me because I am loved. I breathe in, and 70% of what I need comes to me through that very breath. The oxygen is the most life-giving thing on the planet, and it's incredibly abundant and totally free. Every breath we take, we are being loved. We are being immersed in that wave of love that God is. And we live in the love of God. We live in the heart of God. We maybe don't perceive that. We may not know that. But that is the truth. It has always been. And it never changes. It never changes. And there is a beautiful conversation that the Holy Spirit has in here. The Holy Spirit in this book is a Asian woman, a small Asian woman who is somewhat transparent. She sometimes appears and sometimes doesn't, and sometimes he has trouble focusing on her. And her name means the wind. Sara'u means the wind. And he's out in a boat by himself. And at one point he turned to watch the eddies and whirls made by the oar blade and stern. And when he turned back, Sara'u was sitting in the prow looking at him. Her sudden presence made him jump. "Geez," he exclaimed, "you startled me." "I'm sorry, Mackenzie," she apologized, "but supper is almost ready, and it's time to invite you to make your way back to the shack." "Have you been with me the entire time?" inquired Mac, a little ramped from the adrenaline rush. "Of course. I am always with you," she says. "Then how come I don't know it?" asked Mac. "Lately I've been able to tell when you're around." "For you to know or not," she explained, "has nothing at all to do whether I'm actually here or not. I'm always with you. Sometimes I want you to be aware in a special way, more intentional." Mac nodded that he understood and turned the canoe toward the distant shore. He now distinctly felt her presence in the tingle down his spine. They both smiled simultaneously. "Will I always be able to see you or hear you like I do now, even if I'm back home?" he asked. Sara'u smiled. "Mackenzie, you can always talk to me, and I will always be with you, whether you sense my presence or not." "I know that now, but how will I hear you?" "You will learn to hear my thoughts and yours, Mackenzie." "Will it be clear?" he asked. "What if I confuse you with another voice? What if I make mistakes?" She laughed, sounding like tumbling water only set to music. "Of course you will make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But you will begin to recognize my voice as we continue to grow our relationship." We are growing our relationship with Spirit. We are here as Spirit. And our relationship with everyone is a relationship of the divine with the divine. Our relationship with this beautiful day is a relationship with the divine. Our relationship with the tree and the flower and the sky and the bed that we sleep in is a relationship with the divine. Is that relationship easy? Is it released? Is it comfortable? Or is it something that we don't cultivate? Because like any relationship, the relationship with the divine can use some attention now and again. And this book so powerfully spoke to me of having a face-to-face relationship with Spirit. And for me, at this point at least, Spirit doesn't generally have a face. Spirit is an energy that flows through me and around me and lives in everything. Spirit isn't so much face-to-face. My face-to-face experiences with Spirit are experiences with all of you, with all of those in my life. But I realized that for me, I thought about face-to-face experiences, and I recognized that some of my closest friends live across the country or across the world, and that I don't need a face-to-face experience with everyone. I can have a heart-to-heart experience with my friend who's often in India, or my other friend who lives in San Francisco, or the one who lives in Florida, or the one that lives in Colorado. I don't have to be with them. I can internet email them, or I can call them on the phone, or I can just think of them, and I feel that we come together in love heart to heart. And that's the kind of relationship that I have with Spirit. I have a heart-to-heart relationship with Spirit because I believe I live in the heart of God. I am immersed in the heart of God 100% of the time. There is only one heart, and all the love comes from the same heart, the heart of God. And my love that I express on the planet is coming from that same heart. It is spreading the love of God as we love. It is allowing the love to come to us as we allow that feeling to come from within us, yes, but as we allow that feeling to come from each other as well. We are so blessed as we live loved. To live loved is to allow us to fly. And reading inspirational literature is so amazing to me. And that Kate gave me this book was such an incredible gift to me. Because I took this book, and what I do with my metaphysics books is I annotate them. I write all the quotes I want with the page numbers on the insides of the pages so that I can find those pages again. Mm-hmm. And I so love it when someone sneaks up on me with a book that I begin reading and begin underlining and highlighting and annotating in the front and back of the pages, because it releases my spirit to soar with a new understanding. It takes me to a place that I wanted to go. And it's so powerful because this book is loved or hated. That I know Science of Mind ministers who are recommending it to everyone they speak to, and I know Science of Mind ministers who say they wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It's a matter of how you encounter it. And I encountered it with great love and deep appreciation. And it allowed me to release some judgments. It allowed me to let go of some feelings that weren't serving me. And it allowed me to remember that I am here to live loved. And I am loved. And I've always been loved. And I always will be loved. That is such a powerful experience for me. And so release is such a big topic. And I have one last quick story to tell you. Some of you have heard it before, but it's the most powerful story I know of release. I got a letter in 2006 from a woman that I didn't remember, with whom I had had a couple of emails exchanged in the previous year, 2005. And she wrote to me, "Beautiful Connie, a while ago I sent you an email about my struggle with my husband over our divorce and my frustration because he was fighting me for custody of our two children. I was angry, frustrated, and terrified. You wrote me back and told me of a vision you had a while back that said, 'The need for battle is an illusion.' The need for battle is an illusion." She said, "I held that vision in my imagination. I thought about it. I got comfortable with it. I developed an awareness of what it meant to me. I got so comfortable with it that I chose not to hire a lawyer. Everyone around me told me I was insane. My mother actually stopped talking to me because it upset her so deeply. But I held my ground. The need for battle is an illusion. Today, this morning, my husband and I went to court and brought our marriage to a successful close. It took all of about 10 minutes. The judge gave a little speech about how proud she was of us and how proud we should be of ourselves. She said we should be the model to strive for all divorcing parents. The beauty of all is that Mike and I came to an enthusiastic agreement about everything. The kids, the house, everything. I feel like I gave up nothing I wanted. He feels the same way. We went out to breakfast when it was over. And this divorce didn't cost me a cent. He hired the lawyer that drew up the settlement agreement. I'm beaming right now. This experience has been utterly amazing. Thank you. The simple sentence, 'The need for battle is an illusion,' altered the direction of my life. I am grateful beyond words. You and Abraham and this list are an amazing, blessed gift. Much love to you, Anne." And I wrote back and asked her if I could share the letter with my minister as a demonstration of my work. And she wrote back and said, "Feel free to share the letter with anyone, and there's no need to keep my name confidential. I really want you and people like you who teach, uplift, and inspire to know they make a positive difference in the lives of those they touch. I've never met you, and we've already only corresponded a couple of times by email, but that one little sentence changed the direction of my life. I asked, and it was given." And her ability to release blew me away. Under an experience where what she most loved seemed to be at risk, where she was terrified and angry, she was able to take a few little words and live them at such a high level. She's lived them much more powerfully than I have. Much more powerfully. And so 2 years later, she wrote something on the Abraham list that I have posted in my bathroom that I read almost every day. And this is what she wrote. "The need for battle is an illusion. Thanks, Connie. I do not have to control or manipulate circumstances. I do not have to think too hard. I do not have to convince anyone to do it my way. I do not have to struggle to hold my grip. I can let go. Because if it doesn't go the way I hope, it could turn out better than I expected. I will know when to act because I will not feel afraid. The universe is constantly evolving. I am constantly evolving. Evolution is movement toward better. Therefore, events that are happening are always for a better reality, even if I can't see how right away. I am in a good place. It feels like things are about to shift. I don't have to make the shift happen. I can just watch it happen and once again stand in awe of this amazing universe and of my incredible power as a deliberate creator." That's what release feels like to me. And I am so grateful to have had this opportunity to explore it more deeply, to learn to appreciate it, and to bring greater relative ease into all my relationships with myself, with my friends, and with everyone else, and with Source. Thank you.